Do take a seat. But this is no joke. Kathy, I wonder if you could get me some more water, please. Obviously, I honestly did not plan it this way. And you don't have to go behind enemy lines. Because this story, this chapter, it reads to me like I'm kind of picturing an army regimental reunion dinner. And I'm picturing the brigadier or the general after dinner. They're exchanging stories of old of the previous soldiers and their exploits and the battles they went into. And I can imagine an officer with his glass of brandy and his cigar, not necessarily a good image, but saying, "Do you remember the one about?" And telling this story of the three mighty warriors. Thank you. Just leave it there. Thank you. I'm going to drink it, honestly. I'm not going to pour it out. And this story is like that. And the trouble is with those stories is that when they're retold, it's difficult to place them exactly historically. And this is one of those stories. But we do know that there were times when the Philistines raided the land and encroached on the Israelite territory. And this encroachment must have been quite serious because Bethlehem has now become the Philistine garrison. Bethlehem, of course, is King David's birthplace. That's where he grew up. So you can see why he pines for that well in Bethlehem. Maybe his family, that would be the family well, who knows? But that would be a focal point for him. So you can see why he pines for the water from that well. But was it really a serious request? Were they so short of water that they had to send runners behind enemy lines? Well, we don't really know the answer to that question either, but we do know that these three mighty men took it seriously. And did this kind of SAS soldier operation going behind enemy lines to fetch the water from this particular well. Of course, in military terms, it's ridiculous. It's the risk far outweighs the benefits. And so you would wonder if proper military planning, would they ever attempt such a thing? But maybe that's what makes it such a famous exploit, that regardless of the risk, they still did it. Something for us to think about in our risk-averse culture. Well, they brought in the water because David wouldn't drink it. He just poured it out on the ground. What was the point of that? Well, was he being ungrateful? Well, probably not, actually. He poured it out on the ground before the Lord. He poured it out as a drink offering. Now, understand that King David, the Israelite people, the other peoples in the surrounding nations, even the Philistines, would have had drink offerings as part of their menu of different offerings to make to God or for the other nations, their gods. That was standard fare. So you could sacrifice an animal. You could bring some grain, some pulses or some grain from the fields. And you can bring some wine or maybe just water, and you pour it out, sacrifice the animal, burn the grain on the fire, pour out the drink as a drink offering. You can read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, other parts of the Old Testament. Just with your Bible app, search on drink offering, and it will pop up in all those books. Standard fare. It was putting what you had beyond use, giving it over to God as an offering. So he probably wasn't being ungrateful. He was making it into an offering. Remember, Paul used this same speech. We were hearing about Paul last week in prison and persevering. And when he writes to the Philippians, which maybe is a letter written from prison or certainly knows his prison experience, he writes chapter 2:17, he says, though my life is being poured out like a drink offering, saying the same thing. Look, my life now is like a drink offering. It's being poured out as an offering to God. So David was saying, look, you risk your lives to me. There's no way I can take benefit from that. No, what you've done is an offering before God. And so I'm going to pour out the water as a drink offering. And so in that way, he is honoring the achievement of his men before God. He's recognizing their great achievement and declaring it as an offering to God. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, because it shows something about David's character that is useful for us to get on board with. David honored people. He honored people. He didn't take people for granted. He wouldn't just use people. He was king of a land, so he could if he wanted to. But that wasn't in his character. He would not simply use people, but instead with each and every person, he afforded them the dignity that those people had as individuals made in God's image. And so he affirmed and honored them for the way God had gifted them, for the way that God had anointed them, for the way that God had blessed them. And you know, David would do that with his three mighty warriors, as in this episode, but he would also do it with those who had become his enemies. And sometimes this would drive his commanders absolutely mad, because he would honor his enemies the same dignity as people made in God's image, even anointed by God. And there were times his commanders just couldn't understand it. They said, well, what are you doing? They're against you. You should bump them off, spear them, have us kill them. But God said, no, I will not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. They are a person before God, so I cannot do that. He honored people. So let us learn from David. This series is called Be the Man. It's aimed particularly at blokes, but there's stuff for all of us, men and women too. Blokes, let us see David's character of honouring and think what we must do to be like him in honouring people. Now, of course, David wasn't perfect. He had at least two horrendously bad episodes. Don't copy those. But do take on board the way that he honored people. And start, guys, start by honoring your wives and your family. Don't just take them for granted. I'm assuming that half the church are inwardly going, yes, at this point. Don't take them for granted. Recognize the sacrifices that they make for you and your family, the mission impossible, but they sometimes live for you and your family. And here's the hard part. Communicate that to them. Communicate that to them. Don't just recognize it in your head and leave it there, but find a way of expressing it. Recognize that your wife and your children are the pinnacle of the good gifts that God has put into your life. The pinnacle of the good gifts. So honor them before God. And then number two, recognize people around you. And recognize and honor the contribution that they make to your work, to your life, to your ability to live. If you remember nothing else from this morning, remember this one thing. See people around you as gift. See people around you as gifts given to you by God. They may be alongside you in your work, in your project, in other areas, maybe the sports club or in your other social life or whatever, but see them as gifts from God to enrich you. They are given to help you live an enriched life. I think I've told the story before, but when I was doing engineering, it was my first engineering job. We were working on a really difficult design project for a microprocessor. I used to design silicon chips. And it was horrendous, the complexity that they were trying to achieve. It was right up there, and there was like hundreds of connections that had to be made. And we couldn't work out how to do it. And we couldn't work out how to get our computers to do it all for us. But then one guy who was in a slightly separate department, bit on his own in that department, in this kind of multi-discipline team meeting, came up with a suggestion and charted it out on the whiteboard. He didn't know whether it would work. We didn't know whether it would work. But actually, it was worth a try. It was novel. It was thinking out of the box. And he had the guts to chart it out. And so after that meeting, I went to him and I said, that's good work you've done there. That's really inspiring. That's given us something new to pursue, a fresh way to try and solve this problem. And affirmed him and honored him for that. I didn't have to do that. I don't think anyone else did that. But I did it because it felt the right thing to do, to honour him for his contribution to the project. So, wives and family, foremost, honour other people around you, see them as gifts, and then third, about leadership. This is about honouring people around you by leading them and showing them a future, showing them where we can go together. So recognize, for those I'm encouraging to step up and lead, and others I'm kind of booting to step up and lead, recognize that to step up and lead is for you to serve other people by giving them a structure, a task, a future to work into. This is empowering leadership. Of course, it's not lording over leadership. Don't do that. Do the empowering. And to do that, that is a spiritual exercise where you with God see a future, a place where with a little bit of structure, a bit of organization that you find a way of putting in amongst the people will help those people to go to that better destination. That's a spiritual exercise. See it as service. Don't see it as a kind of a dirty word that someone has been asked to lead. That third point, of course, applies equally to the women in this room. In fact, all those points apply equally to the men and women. Obviously, the first one, just substitute wife, husband, flip that around. Because God calls all of us and gifts all of us to do great things for him. But learn to honour others as we do that. Now, the difficulty of what I've just said, those three things, for the blokes, is that they require what we might call the soft skills of communication. Finding the affirming words, finding the words in season, finding the ways of doing that, the right moments. And of course, many of us blokes find doing that kind of stuff incredibly hard. Be honest, we do. So whilst I've labelled it the soft skills of communication, actually for us blokes, it's the hard skills. Because we find it difficult to do. But guys, we need to rise to the challenge and get a grip and do this kind of stuff. Be different. Be the one who affirms. Do you know, one of my saddest moments as a Christian, right up there in the top table of sad moments as a Christian. I was at a church and it was a prayer meeting, and as part of the prayer meeting, I suggested that we just start wandering around amongst each other, affirming each other. Just wander up to someone. Many of you will know this exercise. We've done it together. But it was at a church where I said, let's just walk up to people, affirm them, have them affirm you, and then go and find someone else over the next few minutes. And I went up to a guy and I affirmed him and prayed for him and prayed God's blessing for him. And then there was nothing. Nothing in return. Just a blank face. And I thought, am I so rubbish, so useless that you can't find one thing to affirm? Can you not even make something up, even if it's not true? Guys, let's not be like that. Let's affirm people and big them up before God and pray God's blessing on them. Well, there's all kinds of things we can say about King David. Of course, I'm only scratching the surface with him today. Most of them are positive, and so a couple are negative. But apart from those errors of judgment, he stands out as someone affirming the dignity of human beings before him. The dignity of a person before God. Bigging up the anointing that they have, that God has placed on them. So for us, guys especially, living here in the 21st century where the culture, as we heard, is obsessed with how we look and all about me and me first and what can I get and what can I have fixed for me in that culture, let us be the few who stick our necks out to affirm others, to point to others. Let us be the people who express that, even if we find it hard to do. So make a start with your wife and your children. Then branch out to others in the workplace, in other places, here in church, recognizing their service to God. And so as a people here at Countess Free Church, as a people we want to seek to worship, we want to seek to service, we want to see kingdom life go out around the city, as we do that, may we be an affirming people. People who affirm what God, the good stuff that God is doing, and encourage people, therefore, to be the living sacrifices, another term that Paul uses, what David was thinking of his mighty warriors, being living sacrifices as they pour out their lives to God. Let us encourage one another in that. Let us inspire others to join and themselves be living sacrifices. Well, in a moment, we are going to do a pen and paper affirmations exercise. Many of you have done this before, but on this table here, there's some goodies, there's some gift tags, there's some hearts, there's even some little slips for some reason that have got a little flower on them. Doesn't matter. Just write an affirmation, a something to give to someone or to take away and to give to someone else later. As we're doing that, we will happily pray with people. And I'll go to the back. And if you'd like someone to pray with you for anything, then just go to the back. There'll be a CD track for about 5 minutes, and then the band will lead in a couple more. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for what we can learn from King David, for how he was, how he treated people. Let us think about how we are and the steps we take in the everyday. Let us see the dignity that you have afforded each person around us. And let us affirm that. Amen. Now, I am conscious in praying and leading us in affirming one another. It may be that you're the person who feels in your situation, your work or whatever, you feel isolated. You feel the one kind of left out or kind of that lone person. And I think God would want to say to you is that in his strength, you can make those first moves, even though you feel isolated. If that rings a bell with you, then come and find me at the back and we'll pray. Otherwise, come up and grab some stuff and affirm each other for the next few minutes.